me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit, so y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit, so y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
Ow. You gotta encourage me the whole way long. Ow. Y'all, what's poppin'? It's your boy Nestor, Nestorius, Nestor Rodriguez. You're listening to the Nestorius Public Radio Show live every Thursday night. I'm not sure the exact time anymore, but you can catch us on iTunes. You can check us out on weplayradio.com and just subscribe and figure it out. We're trying to figure out the right time because we're doing some Skyping on the East Coast. And there's a 3-hour time difference. So, you know, we got to accommodate, you know what I mean? Frosted Flakes and shit. I was going to say, you know, I'm going to get right to it. So tonight we have from New York, live from New York, it's Kathleen Sheehan. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Nestor?
How you doing?
Frosted Flakes and shit.
Yeah. You know, dull ice skates, Frosted Flakes, you know, bacon shit, you know, just bugging out. So we're going to be talking about social media. That's pretty much the topic of today's show. We're going to get right into it. No bullshitting. I may give a big up. Big up, you motherfucker, to whoever once in a while. But we're going to get serious here because so you call yourself a social media specialist? I mean, what is that called?
Yeah. So. Digital marketing, social media specialist, social media marketer.
Yeah.
It's all sort of in the same realm of marketing. So it's like digital media, social media, online marketing, and sort of mixed in there with publicity. In terms of the specialty.
Here's your opportunity to make up some really highfalutin shit if you want, you know? Like, if you want to call it some, like, special, you know, caramelized, twice-baked, triple-beam-balanced, PhD-level, socio-economical, special social media genius, you could do that. You know what I mean?
Well, you know... It's funny though. I unfollow anybody on Twitter that calls themselves a social media guru. I just hate if someone follows me on Twitter and I see that they have hashtag social media guru.
Got it. They gotta go.
But that is what some of us are. It's just cheesy, so I don't like it.
Right.
But So. What do you think about that? Social media guru.
You know what? To be honest with you, I don't really know what to make of social media. You and I have had various discussions on the topic. I'm a pessimist. So I'm not always the glass half empty, but I'm just a pessimist. I'm the poo-pooing things all the time. And whenever I see massive quantities of people running and jumping to do things, you know, mindlessly and without really investigating it, I tend to stay away from that. You know what I mean? For instance, I'll give you an example. So, like Facebook, right? Facebook has all these things that they change constantly, right? Your information, right. And it didn't always start out that way. And you'd be surprised how many people have their telephone number, their fucking cock size, their mother's maiden name, their fucking their address, their telephone number.
Yeah.
And it's just like I mean, and people don't think. They don't think about the ramifications of what your information being out there can do. You know?
Yes.
And so when I see that, and mind you, I know that your information, you don't have to put it up on Facebook. There's ways that people who want to get it can get it. It's not a big deal. But why volunteer the shit, right? So in my eyes, it's like, why volunteer your privacy? Why volunteer, you know, I don't want nobody following me. You know, I don't want people following me on Twitter. And, you know, I'm old school. No, let me say, I'm old school. If I see somebody or I feel somebody following me down the stairs, I reach for something just in case they jump. Nowadays, everyone wants people to follow them. And we're going to go to Twitter. I don't quite understand it. You know, that's my thing.
You are... You're so funny. So you don't want anybody to follow you on Twitter, but you have a radio show where you lay it all out and you talk about where you live generally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, if you want to come visit me.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I was being facetious when I said I don't want people to follow me. It's a play on following me and all this other stuff. Yeah. So let's go to Twitter because you know, Facebook is pretty straightforward in the sense that, you know, there are some people who have nothing, absolutely nothing better to do with their life or their employer's money than to be on Facebook all fucking day posting bullshit about, like, idiotic stuff. So we already know what Facebook does. We know that if you have a special event and you invite 1,000 of your friends, 500 of them say that they're going to go and no one shows up. We already know about Facebook.
You're so funny.
We already know about Facebook. Listen, as a stand-up comedian, it's just like, you should see how many people invite people, and then you'll see maybe, I don't know, yes, and I guarantee you maybe one out of 300 people might show up, right?
Oh, man. Well, we'll circle back to Facebook.
Let's go to Twitter. Yeah. Let's go to Twitter.
I love Twitter.
Right.
I love it. So the way that I look at the whole social media landscape, I mean, if you look at let's just take marketing, a movie. Mm-hmm. So the way that it's happened since like the 1950s is you buy an ad on a TV show and you place an ad in the New York Times. Or whatever local paper.
Right.
Like that was the only way to sell movie tickets
right.
or the radio. So it was like radio, spots, print, and TV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all social media does is added a layer on top of that. It's the same thing as advertising in a way, but it's a more conversational word of mouth, kind of like how people used to talk on the telephone. No one talks on the phone anymore.
Right.
So like, where do you get your news? Where do you get your information? Where do you know where to even go with what movies are playing anymore? A lot of it has sort of diversified into social media. People take less ads. TV advertising is too expensive. So I'm a huge fan of social media. But the way that I look at it is Facebook is for the friends and family you already know. So it's like, it could be like a phone book. It could be like updating information. Mm-hmm. And it could be sharing, you know, personal milestones in your life, getting right. married, you know, getting divorced, death, children, all that stuff. Twitter is to find new people that you want to know. So it's like finding experts you want to know, finding new information, finding new sources of information. So Twitter is about discovering new things and new people. So is Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram is a lot more visual. We can go back to Instagram. Snapchat is really for young people. Uh-huh. It's about swapping stories and pop culture and disappearing stories and that sort of thing. Tumblr is a little bit more in between Snapchat and almost like a paper. There's blogs. People read lengthy, lengthy Tumblr posts. But they discover new people and new communities.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite is Twitter because it's where I get all my news.
Really?
And I get all my news on Twitter.
From who?
And
from who? Like Ricky Gervais? He'll post a bunch of shit and you don't know if it's real or not. No, seriously. So you get all your news like from what? So you follow the New York Times or something like that?
Yeah, I follow all the writers. I follow more the writers that I'm interested in. I mean, I look, of course, at like, you know, I'm in New York, so I look at the Post, I look mm-hmm. at the Daily News, but
on
the
Twitter.
Guardian on Twitter.
So,
and then
so,
I follow all my favorite writers.
Writers like what? Novelists?
No. My favorite journalists. I follow a lot of digital media journalists.
Uh-huh. Let's stop right there. That's a very interesting point. And by the way, you know, I'm a little facetious as well about what I say. I have total respect and admiration for what you do and the reason you're on the show is because, frankly, I don't think most people or many people know, you know, how to take advantage of the various social media outlets. So there's a lot of people that have, oh, you're not on Instagram? You're not on, you know, a switcher? You're not on like slap them in the head? I mean, and people don't know what any of that stuff is, but if you're not on it, right, in today's age, like if you don't know what's going on with yourself, you're thinking maybe something's wrong with me. I'm not on Stitcher. I'm not on this. Like I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? So I just want to say that many people don't know where they belong or where they can flourish the most on what social media avenue, and you and I have talked at length about that, and that's what I find interesting. So for instance, I have a radio show, and my goal is to get as many listeners. And I remember you told me one time, or you asked me, so what are you doing to get new listeners? Right.
Yeah.
And so you explained to me, as you just did, that Twitter is your favorite thing. You broke it down that Twitter is where you meet new people. You connect to new people. Whereas Facebook, you're connecting with friends, families that you knew from before, and even people that you hated. And they think that now they're going to be your friends on Facebook. You know, but Twitter, right. going to what you said about you get your news from Twitter. Don't you think that there is something slightly wrong with that? I mean, first of all, most people don't read, right? Most people are not out there in life looking and feeling and living, right? I shouldn't say most. A lot of people, their whole life is consumed with the computer, right? So their interactions with other people are through the internet, through computers, and how they, you know, connect with other people is through the internet. And like you said, no one uses the phone. So with that, I mean, don't you think that just relying on an internet online source for all of your news is scary? Not. I mean, for all of us. I mean, it's just like there's so much shit that gets spread out there, and very little gets contested or researched or, you know, what do you call it? Verified. So that's my thing with that. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I think actually Sean Penn was just on Charlie Rose, sort of talking about why he wrote that article in Rolling Stone.
Right.
He interviewed El Chapo, and he was like, you know, his issue is with journalism and that sort of thing. I mean, I don't really have that much of an opinion on that, but I will say what I did before Twitter. Okay. So what I did before Twitter was, like, if I had a job in, you know, at a company in marketing, I would get the Wall Street Journal. I would get Variety. Hollywood Reporter. I would get, New York Magazine. Mm-hmm. I would buy subscriptions to papers. But now I have all of those online on Twitter, or I could go to their site. I mean, you know, some of them you have to pay for, like the Financial Times in London, and they have amazing, like, lifestyle entertainment reporters. But what I do is follow the reporters that I love and the publications that I would have subscribed to in the past. And then I pick and choose, like, what I want to read.
Okay.
However, I think I'm exposed to more solid information because I have been exposed to things that I never heard of before Twitter. Like The Guardian, I had never really read it.
Right.
So,
right.
Or just like bloggers, like, there's like a young girl who started Rookie Magazine, and it's for, you know, high school girls. And I read that, and I discovered Janet Mock has a show called So Popular, and I discovered that on Twitter, and it's awesome. So I think it's actually, like, I probably don't read long articles anymore. So I agree with you.
So you're basically saying that what you get, you gain more from your connection to Twitter. You're exploring new avenues and you're reading the magazines and news outlets in the entertainment business or whatever the business you're looking into, pretty much for free without having to subscribe. That's very interesting, right?
Yes.
So with that said, what are those magazines doing? I mean, you would think that a lot of those magazines that their information is being spilled out there are getting less subscribers, or they're actually selling less hard copies of stuff. No?
Yeah, they are, definitely. Look at the size of any magazine. It's like this, mm-hmm. because, you know, social media advertising is all advertising dependent. Social mm-hmm. media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, mm-hmm. Snapchat, YouTube, Google, they all make money from advertising. All of the newspapers, the Times, you know, The Guardian, Variety, Hollywood Reporter, IndieWire, they all make money on advertising as well. So it's like some subscription and some advertising is always in the mix. Mm-hmm. And that's why, I mean, this conversation could be about like the broader picture is that, you know, print is, you know, it, everything is going digital. I mean,
Yeah.
There's a whole new wave coming, Nestor, that you're really going to hate. And that's going to be that everyone is going to start using like WhatsApp and starting.
No. I like WhatsApp. I like WhatsApp.
Oh, you do.
No. WhatsApp. Here, for those of you that don't know WhatsApp is a telecommunications application that basically, for instance, if you're in Cuba and you don't want to, you know, spend $500 a minute to call somebody in New York, you have WhatsApp and your cousin in America has WhatsApp and you're both connected to the internet, you dial a local number and you can talk to anybody in the world with a local number, or you can instant message if you both have a WhatsApp. Yeah. So no, I've used it. I think, or leave messages. I think WhatsApp is great. I mean, so for instance, that is practical. I see a practicality in that. So I'm totally with that. Had you told me that I'm going to hate what's happening is that people are going to start communicating with their thumbs up their asses and then like flicking it up in the air or something, then I'd be like, yeah, I think that's fucked up. I'm not going to go there. But I have WhatsApp. I'm totally in. I think that's ingenious. So WhatsApp is one of the applications that Cubans are using now because the Cubans will hang out by the hotels where they get internet. Better internet signals, and they'll be sitting there talking on a video on their cell phone through the internet. So it's a very interesting phenomenon, especially there. So they use another application. I can't remember what it is. I think there's like five apps, but WhatsApp, as far as I'm concerned, is probably one of the better ones.
And who owns WhatsApp?
Let me guess. Satan.
Facebook.
Satan. Oh, no, Facebook. Yeah. Well, that's cool. So obviously Facebook stock is going to go higher up. Well, that's smart.
Well, yeah, it's the next layer of social media. I mean, you know, things are going to start getting served to us on our phones and our text messages.
You mean I'm going to be able to get a slice of pizza on my phone and not actually eat a real one? You can just like lick the screen and like be filled, because you know they're already starting, not starting, but you know that I forgot what it's called, like a gastro where they serve foam at the, and it tastes like filet mignon and they
Soylent.
Soylent is it's a method of, it's a type of cuisine, and it's all these highfalutin chefs and there's like about five Michelin rated restaurants throughout the world, and they serve these ridiculous tasting plates, and what they do is they give you small portions of stuff. A lot of them are like a mousse that tastes like a lobster tail or a mousse. I mean, so I was just making a reference to that with the cell phone.
That's going to be the next layer of social media. It's a guy named Chris Messina who used to work at Google, and now he's at Uber, and he just wrote a Medium post on how everything is going to move to the phone. Everything is going to move to text, you know? So like these platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest. Uh-huh. There's a new social network that just came out called Peach.
Peach?
Peach is in the fruit. Get Peach. There's Elo. The platforms could dissipate at some point in the future. So, you know, that's a whole nother conversation.
Everything might
just move to messaging. But my passion for Twitter is discovering new things, new people to follow. You can literally, like, I just met this actor on Tuesday. I followed him on Twitter. He followed me back. He's already favorited some of my tweets, and I've favorited some of his tweets. How else would I ever interact with him?
Now, this is an actor, you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and like, I had met him, you know, 20 years ago, so... But, you know, we follow each other on Twitter. I'm not really that super active on Instagram, but I recommend it for, you know, most of my clients. Any of my clients that are you know, beauty companies or models or actresses or movies or whatever. Anybody visual loves Instagram. Anybody who loves writing and is clever and funny, they tend to love Twitter and Tumblr. You got to go with what's natural. Like, I have a friend who, you know, just he's marketing like a one-man show, and he just, you know, now he wants to launch into social media. And the thing about social media is, Nestor, and I'm really passionate about this, you can't just keep broadcasting all the stuff you want to sell. So if you just like wrote a book, you just can't jump on Twitter and start promoting your book. It doesn't work that way. You have to like engage and develop relationships. So what I always tell people is the first thing you have to do, go to the platform that you love the most and then really just use it. Like test it and see, you know, like I did Pinterest for a while, but it just didn't connect with me. So Twitter is the one I love the most, the one I use the most. But like the first thing is to develop, it's like a two-way dialogue. It's not just me promoting. So I was a VP at a startup company and I was in charge of getting new business. So, and in retail and entertainment. So the first thing I did on Twitter, I followed all the top retail brands and all the top entertainment brands. And then I found out like who it was that I needed to meet with. So it's usually like the marketing officer. Then I started following all of them. Then I started liking all their tweets. Then I started retweeting all their tweets.
And then at what point did you start showing up like at their door? Like knocking?
Then I used another social media tool called Reportive and I can figure out their email address.
Oh, okay.
And then I can send them an email. It used to be that you could connect on LinkedIn, but that doesn't work as well anymore. Some people don't respond or they're too busy or whatever. So yeah, there's like all these little tools. Then you can send them an email or, you know, you can find out.
But you think that would be kind of intrusive? And I'm just saying, I think that in order to succeed, yes, you have to be a little bit aggressive. But like, who gave you his email address? Do you say to him, hey, I'm following you on Twitter and I got this like creepy crawler app that tells me what your what your email address is. And, you know, guess what? I found it. Do you mind? I mean, or do you just send them an email and assume that they'll read it or they won't read it, or it doesn't really matter how you got it?
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, like, it first happened to me like back in 2007 or 8. Someone sent me an email from Forbes magazine, like, hey, I follow you on Twitter. I really like what you have to say. You know, would you ever want to have a coffee and talk about marketing?
Interesting. This is in 2007, you said?
Or 2000, maybe it was 2009. Yeah.
I was going to say.
It was early days. I was on Twitter from the beginning, which was about, I think it was about 2007.
Okay. So let's go through every social media thing now. So we're going to focus on Twitter. I want to focus on Twitter, but I want to go back to Instagram. Let's go.
Yeah.
Instagram. So for instance, my sister is a pretty well-known actress. You know, if I tell you she is or what she's done, you'll be like, oh yeah, I know her. I've seen her. I love her. I love her in that show or whatever. Right. She's been on my show, Elizabeth Rodriguez. She's on Orange is the New Black. She was on Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So I don't have to be, I was just sounding a little clandestine. Like, you know, my sister's a famous, Puerto Rican stab artist. And so her thing is she's not on Facebook right now. She's not on Twitter. She's on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
So my thing was, you know, I started a Facebook page for her because, you know, there are a lot of people who knew her and know her from her past, right? And you know, in my opinion, if you're a celebrity or you're an actor or whatever, if you're in the entertainment business, if you stand or if you're interested in marketing yourself or your product or whatever, I personally don't think that there's one too many avenues to do that.
Right.
And I know I'm contradicting myself because I say, you know, Facebook this, Facebook that, but the purpose of you again being on here is to enlighten me, even though, you know, I'm a wise ass. But
even though you're tough.
No. I'm just a wise ass. I mean, believe me, at the end of the day, I really want to know about this. I mean, we just started a new internet radio station, We Play Radio, which is where the new home of Nestorius Public Radio, which, by the way, for those that are listening, new and old subscribers, go to weplayradio.com. It's a new collective. We have a bunch of shows, and there's a lot of interesting content. So you can get the bio of the host and all that other stuff. But the point is, you know, I'm interested in not only promoting Nestorius Public Radio and getting more listeners, right? But also getting, you know, which is something that I've spoken to you about, to get We Play Radio a little bit more presence or more presence in the social media, you know, get more listeners, not just for my show, but for our whole package, you know? So she's on Instagram, and I get it. You take pictures and you send them to people, and oh shit, you had eel for breakfast. Oh, great. You know, so, but at the end of the day, like, break that down to me real quick. I don't understand it.
Okay. So the way that we'll just use your sister as an example. The way that so if you're an actress, like from 1960 to, I don't know, 2000. 80. No, like maybe even later, like, I mean, to 2000. You know, the old school Hollywood movie stars all had fan clubs.
Uh-huh.
They had fan clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
They published fan newsletters. They sent you mail. You could send in, right. Like, that is how I look at Instagram,
really,
and Twitter and Facebook. It's the old school model, but you can go direct to the to your sister. If you love her in Orange Is the New Black and you're a fan, you can immediately start following her on Insta and hearting all of her photos. And you know, Kim Kardashian, I'm not like super knowledgeable about the Kardashians, but they built their whole business basically on social media.
Right.
And the way that they engage with their fans on Insta is pretty impressive. I mean, they acknowledge their hardcore fans. Mm. They, you know, give them like gifts or whatever. Like, it's the old school fan club model.
You know what? That's really, really smart and interesting way of putting it, right? Because it's not new, right? It's just a newer, easier, better, accessible way of doing it. Because you're right, there were fan clubs, and you know, you wrote them a letter, somebody read it and had, you know, either, you know, stamped signatures or whatever, but you'd get something back and you felt like, oh, yay, you know, Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz sent me, you know, and I think that's great. So Facebook, you know, you get to connect with your family and stuff like that. So Twitter, let's just focus a little bit on Twitter. Let's focus on how do I get more people to you know, how do I get a bigger audience? What's the best way to do effective tweets? Because I know that's, you know, you're big on that. When is the best time to send a tweet? Because this is important, right? With Facebook, I notice that sometimes I'll put something on Facebook and I'll get like hundreds of likes. And I'm not sure if it's the time or if it's the subject that I'm posting. Because sometimes it is the subject. Because sometimes, you know, it's the subject. And then something happens. Maybe somebody will post on like some, even if it's an old post, right? Somebody will post like a like or whatever. All of a sudden, there's like four or five more people. Meanwhile, this shit's been up for like a year. So like the dynamics of that, I don't quite understand, other than if somebody likes, for instance, I have a post that I put up on Facebook 3 months ago. And then somebody just happens to be trolling my page, and they look at the photo and the post. Oh shit, they like it. And I guess apparently it'll come up on somebody's news feed, and then somebody else might look at it and go, let me see what that is. Is that basically what's going on, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of things to talk about here with that. So there's the whole, so just taking a step back before you jump into any social media, no matter who you are, like, what do you want from social media? Mm-hmm. So if you're like, well, let's take your sister, for example. Mm-hmm. Let's say she's in a new indie film, mm-hmm. and, you know, she's got like Orange is the New Black fan base, and you know, The Walking Dead, all those people, by the way, are on Facebook and Twitter and Insta. There's like fan clubs.
Yeah.
So the main thing is, if I were her, I would think, how, like, and I'm in a new indie movie, how can I broaden my fan base for this movie? Like, how can I let them know and grow that? Right. And also, like, how can I get more exposure as an actor? Because we all know, like, you got to keep hustling.
Right.
Or,
right. You got to stay current.
You got to stay current.
You have
so
to.
So I would start with, what's your objective? This is very corporate, but this is what we do.
Yeah.
What is the objective? So if the objective is to, you know, to get press for the indie movie and get exposure and grow her base, then you have to look at, like, and then we'll circle back to the posts and all that stuff.
Right.
The first thing is, like, discovering. So the first thing, even on Facebook, Nestor, you could, like, tonight, take a hashtag.
On Facebook,
in the little search bar.
Yeah, yeah,
top
yeah.
of Facebook. You put hashtag Orange is the New Black, and you see all these people posting on Facebook about Orange is the New Black. What I typically try to do is find, like, really young bloggers that might be posting big lengthy articles about Orange is the New Black, and then I'll like their post.
Uh-huh.
And then I try to grow my, you know,
that's interesting. So I'll go and the search hashtag Orange is the New Black, and then all these people who are fans of Orange is the New Black may come up, and then I actually manage my sister's Facebook page, which, you know, getting people to like the page is another story, but you just enlighten me on something. So then technically, all those people that come up, I can basically send them a message and go, hey, like my page if you're a fan of Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, or the first thing you want to do, especially if they're a fan of, or they even mention her, so then do hashtag Orange is the New Black. And then also, you know, you always want to like Orange is the New Black as her and on her page.
Right.
But then, you know, you do, like, I promoted an indie movie this year, and I would do hashtag Michelle the actress, and I would find anybody posting pictures of her, and I would like it as the movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, I would like it as the movie. So then it started, like, generating more people liking the page. But about social media and times of day to post and what gets the most likes and all of that stuff, there's a reason there are people like me that are marketers, because there's, like, software tools you can use to analyze the traction. And there's just, like, historical experience. I was telling one person, Sunday night is the Saturday night for Twitter.
Twitter,
Sunday night is, like, prime time.
And not Facebook, but Twitter.
Facebook, it's, like, it's a little different. It could be Wednesdays and Thursdays. Sunday's also pretty popular for Facebook.
All right.
But
for Twitter,
kind of
Sunday
event,
night.
And any event, the Golden Globes, the Oscars, any sporting event, go to Twitter, put in a hashtag, and it's just, it blows up. Twitter is this very interesting tool. Like, people don't turn to Instagram when it's the Golden Globes unless they want to look at the dresses.
Right.
People don't turn to Facebook that much and, like, live, you know,
react. So
Twitter, they all do that.
So I have a post, you know, come check out. I mean, you know, the new episode of Nestorius Public Radio with Kathleen Sheehan is up. And then I'll hashtag Oscars. So that, well, I'll hashtag whatever, anything that I might think is popular or famous. And that might, if you hashtag Oscars, my tweet may come up. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I'm saying hashtag is, like, the currency of social media. So using hashtags to discover things, to find article, like if you're your sister, you might want to see if some random blogger ever wrote a blog about her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very, hashtag is to discover things. So social media can be about discovery. If you look at Insta, like, people use, like, 50 hashtags. You can use a lot of hashtags on Insta.
Right.
Twitter, It's five. One or two, or it's two or three.
Facebook, well, doesn't it go by the amount of characters that it lets you put in the body of the tweet?
Yeah, so Twitter is 140 characters, so you want to keep it kind of short, right. And it's an art to writing a good tweet.
Right,
and
right.
Like I think I told you, my thing with any of this, pictures and videos and links to other sources, Facebook kind of dings you for links if you're trying to like get a lot of likes. I mean, mm-hmm. you're not, you know, if you're like, I don't know, if you want to get like a ton of likes, you don't want to always have like links to articles, but I still use them. But
on Facebook, you're talking about
on Facebook, but you want to have pictures. You want to have video. I mean,
on Twitter, you could be,
yeah, on Twitter,
you want to have, you want to have pictures and video,
pictures, video, you know, tagging other people. The way to use more than 140 characters is to embed a picture. So if we're going to promote your sister in Orange is the New Black, you put up a picture, you tag her, you tag Laverne Cox, you tag all the stars of right. Orange is the New Black. And then now you have a lot more than 140 characters. And that also then links to them. They get notified they've been tagged in a photo.
Right.
They get a little notification. Uh-huh. So then they can retweet it. So the currency of social media is to hashtag, tag, post pictures, use video, retweet other people's content so that they have a relationship with you and like their stuff. Huh. And don't just promote. It has to be a two-way
conversation.
Yeah, it's like dating. You know, it's like,
well, it depends on dating depends on A, where you come from, meaning what's yeah. your ethnicity, B, what's your socioeconomic status, and C, if you've been brought up right. So be careful when you bring up dating as an analogy to Twitter. You know what I mean? Because,
well, that's true.
Yeah.
But what I always tell my clients is do not start promoting until you at least retweet a bunch of people's tweets. It's like, that's the way to be brought up.
I see. In other words, you're making a reference to like when you meet a girl or a guy, but in my case, if I meet a girl, don't start talking about myself throughout the whole thing. Try to find out what she's into. What's your name? Where'd you go to school? What do you like to eat? Like that. I get it.
Right on. Now, Insta's a little different. Insta's more like sharing cool pictures and interests and... you know, social service stuff. And I really think for actresses and actors and anyone, involved in entertainment, like you have to be on, you gotta be on Insta.
If you're an actor or a comedian or any of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a comedian, I would think you would want to be on Twitter and showcase some of, you know, your comedy, your bites.
How about if you're Puerto Rican? What's the best social media outlet to promote your Latino-ness? Is there I don't know.
Well, let's look up on Twitter. Like, you know, have you ever done hashtag Latin comics?
No. I'm just saying like, no, I was, you know what? Let's move on from that. That was bad. That was bad.
Yeah,
I don't need hashtags to find Latinos. I live in East Harlem. I just walk out my house and I'll know everything about Puerto Ricans, what they do, what they're wearing, if they paid their rent, if they're getting evicted, who's moving, who's having five kids. I don't need Twitter for that. I got that right out my window.
There's all these super cool, like there's Black Twitter. There's, you know, like there's just like...
What do you mean Black Twitter? Like Twitter for Black people?
Well, it's like a group of Twitter employees that are Black, and they promote all kinds of interests. Like I've discovered, I guess it's an online news source called Blavity, and they're awesome. And I discovered that on Twitter from following Black Twitter.
Interesting.
Yeah,
following Black Twitter. That almost sounds a little racist, though. Black Twitter.
I don't know. It's just,
you know, it's like, yo, man, are you on Black Twitter or are you on White Twitter?
Well, tech has its own interesting thing that's happened, Nestor, since everything is so visible and out in the open, which kind of circles back to your whole thing about like your phone number and your address. All the social media networks started posting and making transparent, like how many women they employ, how many Asians, how many, you know, whatever. Like they've been really upfront about like how many engineers are this and that. And so there's all these like little.
How do you find this out? You just like hashtag how many employees you have Twitter, or it, you have to just like, I mean.
They released to the tech publications, and there's a lot of dialogue about it. That's another thing that I think is really cool about Twitter is, I mean, like, for example, there's this guy named DeRay McKesson who, I don't know, he went to college with some family friend of mine. And I just noticed that he would engage in dialogue with really famous people on Twitter and like, you know, really like really smart guy. And I was like, wow, this guy's like, how, you know, he looked really young. And, you know, now he's on, you know, the Stephen Colbert show. Mm. How did he get discovered? Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you he got discovered from being a super smart, amazing guy on Twitter.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's been stories. Dane Cook, for instance, got his following on MySpace. That was way back.
Way back in the day.
Y'all remember MySpace. You know, I was getting frustrated with Facebook. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to reopen my MySpace account. I'm tired of these old motherfuckers trying to like my shit. I'm going back to MySpace. But guess what happened to me? I'm serious. Guess what happened? I couldn't remember my password. And MySpace completely like changed the what do you call it? The face of what it looked like. It deleted all my photos. And I'm like, yeah. Because if you, they revamped their whole platform, I think. So, So it was like, I couldn't even navigate through that.
But that's a really good point. That's why you got to spread it out. You can't be dependent on one platform. Like there, we didn't even bring up Google Plus. Nobody is on Google Plus.
And what is Google Plus? Explain that.
Google Plus is a social network that Google created. It's a little bit like a combination of Twitter and Facebook, and they put a lot of money and effort into it, and a lot of people loved it, and it just didn't take off. No one uses it. So you have to go where the people are. Mm-hmm. People are on Twitter. People are on Facebook. People are on Insta. But these networks come and go.
But how about if you like to isolate? Wouldn't Google Plus be good for you? Let's say you just want to be there and like fester in the fact that no one likes you and no one wants to talk to you. I think Google Plus would be perfect for you, no?
That is pretty funny. Yeah, and like, I mean, do you know about Facebook Live?
No. Break that down to me.
Okay, so Facebook Live is, I think, kind of cool. So let's say you're going to the Golden Globes. You can, on your Facebook page, I mean, you know, on Facebook app, start shooting videos, start shooting interviews, start, you know, shooting live video right in the stream on Facebook. You don't need a special app. You don't need Periscope or Meerkat or Insta video. You can just like shoot a video. It's going to be live. So that's, you know, like HuffPost Live used to have a live video show. Mm-hmm. That's dying. Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, anyone could start a talk show on Facebook.
Interesting. So, but you said you need the Facebook app, right?
Well, you just need you need to have access to Facebook Live. But like I have a friend who's been doing, you know, just like one-on-one interviews with social media experts and tech guys. And it's pretty, you know, it's rough. It doesn't look that good. And the other thing is, you know, podcasts are growing. People are really into podcasts again.
Yeah.
So, but how do you discover.
Yeah, how do you get, how do you expand your listenership? Yes. That's why, you know, that's one of the reasons why you're here. Well, twofold for me to learn more, and I'm sure I'm not going to learn everything in one. I'm dense, if you haven't figured it out, you know, to learn everything in 55 minutes. So we definitely have to have you back on again, but also for listeners out there. I mean, I know a lot of people who actually have their own podcasts out there, or who are actors, or who are stand-up comedians, or who are, you know, artists of any medium. And you want to get yourself out there. And I think a lot of people spend a lot of time and energy on all these various social media outlets. And I don't really think everyone really understands A, the mechanics of it, and B, how to actually maximize your time on it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hustle and it's an effort. But for We Play Radio, the first thing you want to do is you want to get on at least two or three social networks that make sense for you. So Facebook and Twitter and maybe Tumblr, I don't know. But, you know, you have to figure out like who the audience is and where they are. Mm-hmm. 18 to 24-year-olds are not going to be on Facebook much.
Right.
They use it, but they use Messenger a lot, but they don't like really engage with content. They use Snapchat for that. But the journalists that write about podcasts, the journalists that write about what are the new 50 podcasts you should be paying attention to, they are all on Twitter. Everyone in the media is on Twitter. So you have to start using the hashtags to discover the people to follow to grow your following.
Got it. So kind of like in the example that you used before on Facebook, for instance, I'll hashtag Orange is the New Black or Orange is the New Black Elizabeth Rodriguez, two different hashtags. And then you find out how many people are actually either blogging, posting, or liking that type of stuff. Then you try to connect with those people directly.
Yep.
Liking their post or following them or adding them.
Yep. Yeah, that's the best, you know, that's a way to grow the following. And then you can also through the hashtag, you know, podcast or sports or acting or whatever hashtag you want to use, mm-hmm. then you start seeing like there's 100 people that have posted about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you grow your following by following other people. Now, listen, some actors and actresses buy followers.
Sure. And some actors and actresses and a lot of people have people doing that stuff for them.
Yes. They hire social media publicists and that sort of thing. I am not a huge fan of people buying followers because if you then have something real to promote, none of those people are going to buy tickets because they're not real people.
How do you know if somebody's buying followers or buying likes as opposed to organic likes and followers?
Well, if you are an actress and you have, let's say, 250,000 followers on Twitter and you do a post and you get one like on every single one of your posts.
Got it.
It's pretty easy to tell that you buy your followers.
It's pretty obvious that you have that one person that signed up for Google Plus, and that's the only person that's liking your shit.
Yes.
So I want to ask Jeremy, who is the executive producer here at We Play Radio, if he has any questions for you because he's actually a huge tech, you know, guy, and he's got his own, you know, understanding of all this stuff. Jeremy, do you have anything that you'd like to ask Kathleen?
Yeah, you know, I think you kind of talked about it already, but the challenge for me is really just having the time to do this properly. It really takes a lot of dedication to social media for it to be effective. Mm-hmm. And I've spent, you know, money on Facebook campaigns and that sort of thing. And
yeah, we didn't even talk about that advertising
So, you know, you can pay Facebook to kind of prioritize your posts or have it come up when people search on certain keywords and things like that. And even though that will render some results, It's
not that great.
It's not that great, and you're spending money for something that I think is achieved more effectively by being someone who is constantly on social right. media and posting right. and interacting with your audience and setting up polls and really asking yeah. questions and those types of things. But, yeah. but, you know, again, for me, it comes back to, the time. So really, I almost see it, at least for a business, depending on what your business is, it's essential that I hire someone who understands this and actually, you know, allocates time in their day because it's, you know, kind of their job to do so.
Right.
To post on social media and make sure that you're putting information out in the relevant spaces.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Jeremy, for bringing that up about, you know, you can pay $10 to boost a post. Right. You can buy, you can actually sort of, you know, buy ads on Facebook. You know, it all comes back to the first point I made. It really depends on what your objective is and what you're trying to promote. But I will say that people like me who, you know, do social media for a living, we have access to a lot of software and tools. Some of them are free that we can like line up posts for a whole week. I can on a Sunday night write posts for a whole week and schedule them. I typically, when I meet with a new client, you first have to figure out who are you trying to communicate with? Who is the target market for your business or your service? And then you have to evaluate what platforms they're on. And then you have to evaluate what content resonates with them. And it usually takes a lot of work for 3 months and then it tapers off and it's very manageable. And again, it's a relationship. So you can't just like slam dunk it and disappear. It has to be maintained. But just like any relationship, you know, you put a lot of effort up front and then it becomes very manageable. But there are tools and you hire someone, they can set you up and then you can use the tools going forward. It makes it like there's a tool called Hootsuite. You could use it now. You could use it for We Play Radio and set up a bunch of tweets for next week.
Yeah, you know, and it's all that kind of knowledge that is so valuable to places like what we're doing.
Yeah.
One thing I kind of want to talk about a little bit is the importance of being specific with keywords, because I think a mistake that a lot of people make is, you know, we do podcasts here. So when I'm setting up a Facebook ad, you know, if I just put podcasts, Facebook kind of makes it seem like you have this huge audience. But because it's so general and not very specific, you know, podcasts covers a lot of ground.
Yeah.
Even though it looks like you have this huge audience in your potential
arsenal.
Your potential yeah. market to see that, it's not as effective as being specific where you could say, you know, Nestor Rodriguez in downtown Los Angeles. Comedy, urban, Puerto Rican, you know, the more specific keywords, even though the audience may look to be smaller from that Facebook perspective, will be more effective because you're getting to the people who are really looking for that type of content instead of just the general podcasts.
Yeah. So there, Jeremy, this is so awesome. 'Cause this is like, a social media marketing, there's content and then there's advertising. So some people are specialists in like the content and the publicity and growing the audience. And there are other people who are masters of Facebook ads. Mm. Like they can tell within, you know, the key word question and like what kind of relevant terms do you buy and what should your budget be? And also, you know, video ads are more effective on Facebook than just general ads for entertainment type of, you know, showing a video of your podcast is going to be more effective on Facebook than just buying a typical ad. So the thing about keywords, it's just, did you buy any Google AdWords ever?
We did explore Google AdWords in the past, and you know, again, didn't find it to be as effective as we had hoped.
Yeah, it's a tough, I would have to ask questions about like budget and length of time and what kind of keyword structure, but there's a whole science behind this kind of digital marketing, and that's digital marketing, that's advertising. But there is a way to test and learn when you're launching a new product and a program before you jump into the ad part. You know,
yeah, and I think that's kind of what I was trying to say, is that if you have your social media in line and you're doing that effectively and consistently, that then maybe the advertising side on Facebook or whatever it is, it doesn't seem as even effective as just having a good social media program.
It depends. Everything is different. Like the glass company Warby Parker, they've never done any real traditional advertising, but a lot of it was done sort of on Facebook and targeting friends of friends and targeting people interested in
and I'm just going by experience, they did pay Google something because I remember fucking like searching for, you know, masturbatory preventive pills, and fucking Warby Parker would come up out of nowhere, and I went on their page, and I was like, fuck, these glasses are nice. And that's an ingenious company. Actually, that's an ingenious marketing example, Warby Parker.
But what I wonder about that case is there a difference between a company that has a product, a tangible product to sell versus, you know, hey, like my podcast, because, you know, I say cool stuff, you know?
Right.
Absolutely. The market for, I mean, you think of Facebook like TV. Facebook is the TV market of social media. So it crosses all generations. And so whatever kind of brands and companies advertise on TV, they're going to do well on Facebook. Like Frito and Coca-Cola and Warby Parker and some, you know, skateboards.
But also to answer, to go more towards Jeremy's question, something tangible is visual. Like you're saying, TV, it's visual, right? So when I clicked on the Warby Parker site, it's interactive and it's visual. There's glasses. You could actually, you know, put them on your face, so to speak, virtually. You can take a picture of yourself on their page. And so a picture of yourself goes on there, and then you could actually see five pairs of glasses or something like that. I forgot what it was.
Yeah.
But it's visual. So as opposed to interactive, as opposed to a podcast or something not tangible like that, where it takes the time to listen, right? So you have to invest the time to go, all right, I'll check out this podcast. Let me listen to it. You know, so that's one of the main, main differences in your question, Jeremy. I'm, you know, from my experience.
Yeah. I think the thing is too, like, what you want to do is try to use social media as a discovery tool for the diehard podcast fans. And there are a lot of them.
Yeah.
And it's growing.
Yes.
And so to look at just from the beginning, how can you use social media to discover where those people are? You have to start marketing to people where they are. Facebook is too broad, probably, in my experience, to market a lot of stuff. It's very challenging to launch a new company or product and market it on Facebook. Yeah. It takes a lot of advertising budget, takes a lot of content, but there are pockets of people online on YouTube, on Tumblr, on Twitter, on Reddit. We haven't even talked about Reddit.
Well, you're going to have to come back. You have to come back and talk about Reddit.
Reddit is super awesome.
Well, we're kind of running and like probably went a little over, but I mean, as you're talking, I'm thinking podcast. Kevin Smith had, if not still has, one of the biggest internet radio stations. I think it's called Smodcast, and so I did a show called The Breaks that was on his network. And so those episodes are still available. I mean, talking about cross-referencing, you could actually retweet some of those episodes and get some of those followers. And I actually have a lot of my listeners are from the original The Breaks podcast, which, by the way, yep. I haven't given any of those people a shout-out. I got to give them... Hold on a second. Big up! Big up, Smartcast Man! Big up, The Breaks! Big up, your Nigerian motherfucker! Big up, Korea! Big up, Puerto Rico! Big up, social media! All right. That was a lot of big ups, but yeah. I don't do those enough. I don't do those enough. So Kathleen, listen, we ran out of a little bit of time, but I did want to say something, and I'll end it with this. First of all, before we end, tell me your Twitter handle, if you have a website and all that other stuff.
Yeah, my Twitter handle is at Kat Sheehan. So I'm at KatSheehan.
Right. And she follows me. I follow her on Twitter. Mine is at Nestorius NYC. That's I was saying that was my Twitter handle. I was saying Nestorius NYC and spelling yours. I was, doing a subliminal message. Yep. But I'm going to just kind of end this by saying this, right? Or by getting into this. I was reading the top 25 password, the crazy, stupid passwords, all right? One of the reasons why I was always opposed to joining, and this is the truth, another social media, like what was the thing you mentioned about a job that so-and-so wants to friend you, the social media for job networking that you mentioned earlier?
LinkedIn.
So I get these links. I'm like, I'm not fucking doing one more fucking website. I'm not coming up with one more password. And so, I get it. So I just want to read like the top 25 passwords. That
awesome.
If you have any of these passwords, stop smoking marijuana, number one. Number two, take 5 minutes of your fucking day and redo your passwords because you're a fucking moron. Okay? So number one is 123456. That's the top fucking retarded password in all of the internet. The second one is password, okay? That if you have password as your password, stop fucking smoking bongs, okay? Number three, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You're a little ambitious, but you're still retarded. Number four is QWERTY, QWERTY. Number five, you're fucking smoking hashish. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Number six is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. This is ridiculous. Number seven, football. Number eight, you're fucking taking Quaaludes. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. You're not even fucking ambitious enough to add another digit. Number nine, you dropped two from the fucking genius on number six. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm not making this up, guys. Number 10, baseball. Okay? Number 11.
No.
Number 11, welcome. You're a fucking idiot. You're not welcome. Number 12, this guy got a little ambitious. He added a zero to the fucking digital spectrum. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. That's number 12. Number 13 is ABC 1, 2, 3. What are you in fucking romper room? Number 14, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. 11, 11, 11. I'm not even going to comment on that. Number 15, I don't even understand what the fuck this is and why it's stupid, because I actually think it's interesting. It's the number 1QAZ2WSX. I guess that means I squaddle ball wax or something. I don't really know. Number 16 is dragon. You need to stop smoking marijuana. Number 17, master. You need to stop fucking hanging out in dungeons, okay? Number 18, monkey. You're a moron, I'm telling you. Number 19, let me in. I'm not fucking letting you in. You need to stop dropping Quaaludes and smoking marijuana. Number 20, login. Come on now. Really? Number 21, princess. I don't think so. Number 22 is QWERTY-UIOP. QWERTY-UIOP. I don't understand that, but that's number 22. Number 23 is solo. What are you, fucking Han? Number 24 is password. Number 25 is Star Wars. Now, none of this is made up. None of this is made up. There's a company that is Splash. I think it's called... I think it's called Splash ID, and they actually track some of the top, if not the top, passwords that are used throughout the internet. If you have any one of these passwords that I just read.
Hey, Nestor, you know that one you read, QWERTY, UIOP?
QWERTY, UIOP, yes.
Look at the first line on your keyboard that has letters.
Yeah.
QWERTY. I get it. So yeah. basically, he's a QWERTY moron, but he got a little ambitious. That's what
no,
it is.
It's like when you go see an Apple genius and they just slide their finger through the first. That's what they do.
But check it out. Most people don't even know what a QWERTY keyboard is. So for those of you that don't know, and Jeremy just asked me to look at my keyboard. If you look at your first top row of letters, it is QWERTY. That's a QWERTY keyboard. So when you're on your fucking phone and you don't have a QWERTY keyboard, then you can't really, all your typing techniques from fucking elementary school go out the window. That's all it means. That was an original typing keyboard that most people learned how to type on, a QWERTY keyboard. Anyway, Kathleen, we definitely went out of time. It was fun. It was very interesting. You look great, by the way. I just want to tell you. I didn't get a chance to say that. You look great.
Thanks.
Lovely. Very intelligent. Very informative. Really grateful that you came on. We'll definitely have you on again. We'll talk to you off the air about We Play Radio and, you know, getting, you know, more information and maybe how you can help us. And for the rest of you psychos, go on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe to Nestorius Public Radio. Check this out. Put a review, man. Put a review of 5 stars or better. Take a screen grab of it, and I'm going to send you a Nestorius Public Radio shirt. It doesn't say Nestorius Public Radio, but it has my logo on it. And go on my Facebook page, Nestorius Public Radio. Like my Facebook page for Nestorius Public Radio. I'm going to post the photo of the T-shirt that you'll get. Put the review in there. Take a screen grab. Put it on my Facebook page. Inbox me, and I'll send you a T-shirt free. You know what I'm saying? Word.
Me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.